Hey, good morning. Thank you for joining. And we're learning today's Daf Lamed. And I want to thank the Popper family for sponsoring last night's Chumash Shir in memory of Dr. Popper's father, Henry Popper, Tzvi Ben Yecheskel. Medina, what was your father-in-law, Tzvi Ben Yecheskel? Tzvi HaKohen Ben Yecheskel. So may his neshama have an aliyah. And today's daf is Daf Lamed here in Masechet Yoma. We are dealing with the day, the big day, the day of Yom Kippur. First thing is that the Kohen Gadol has to go to the mikvah. So the Mishnah said, Zeh HaKlal Haya BaMikdash, this is the rule in the Beis HaMikdash. Kol HaMesech Esraglav, anyone who kneels his feet in order to discharge excrement has to go to the mikvah. And anyone who is Matil Mayim, anyone who urinates, Ta'un Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim, has to wash his hands and feet from the kior, from the sink. I understand why he has to wash his feet after he urinates. The Shum Nitzotzos, because there are drops that will splatter all over the feet. Eliyadayim my time, but why is he washing his hands? What do the hands have to do with the urine? Amrab Abba, Rab Abba taught. Oso Meres, from here we learn a halacha. Mitzvah l'shafshef. Whenever you urinate, after you finish the urinating, you should take a hand and clean off your feet. Rashi says, Mitzvah l'shafshef biyado. There's a mitzvah to clean with your hands the droplets of the urine that splatter all over the feet. You shouldn't walk out with these droplets on him, because then he looks like he's somebody whose male organ's been chopped off. Because someone whose male organ's been chopped off, it's going to have splattering of droplets all over. It's not going to go out in a stream. A person who doesn't have a male organ, he's not going to have a stream of urine. He's going to have dribbles of drops. Now, so if a person's walking around with urine all over his feet, people think, why was that? Why didn't he just have urine go out in an arc, in a stream? They say, oh, probably because it couldn't. His body was such that his male organ was chopped off, so it's just dribbling out. So what's the big deal if people think he has the male organ chopped off? So Rashi adds, Krus Shivcha Eino Molid. Somebody who has that male organ cut off doesn't have the ability to biologically give birth to children, because he doesn't have the reproductive organs. So he's not going to have semen coming out of him. So this man, who people see him with urine on his feet, they think, oh, that means it's a krus shivcha. Then they're going to see that this man has children. They're going to say, oh, that's not his children. They're going to say that those children came from some other man. That his wife, who was married to him, had relations with some other man in order to have children. So basically he's going to create going to fuel a rumor mill, which are going to accuse his children of being illegitimate children, of being mamzerim. So a person's not allowed to create misimpressions. The Torah told us a law, v'yisem nikiyim, Hashem Yisrael, you're supposed to be clean in God's eyes, but also clean in the eyes of the Jews. You can't do things that make people think that there is misbehavior going on. A person shouldn't, you know, do things that make people think that he's violating Shabbos or eating non-kosher. So you also shouldn't do things that'll cause, you know, the gossipers and the perverts to think that his children aren't really his children, and his children are mamzerim. So therefore, mitzvah l'shafshef. Again, Amar Rav Abba, the reason why the Kohen has to wash his hands and his feet when he urinates, after he urinates, is because the hands are supposed to get dirty, because there's a mitzvah to clean off the droplets from the feet. This is a proof to Rabbi Amidam. Rabbi said, "Also, la'adam sheyetz b'nitzotu shel gabi raglav." Person who urinates and then there's some droplets that fall on his feet, he's not allowed to walk around that way. Not allowed to walk around with droplets on his feet. Because if he has droplets on his feet, people think, why does he have droplets on his feet? They see the urine on his feet. Why does he have droplets there? Oh, must be his male organ was chopped off. And that's why it only dribbles, it doesn't stream. And then, umotzi laz albanav, that's going to create a certain, you know, lashon hara. He's creating a certain negativity about his children. That people are going to think that his children, shehem mamzerim, that they are illegitimate, that they are not from him, but they are from somebody else with his wife. Okay, that completes that halacha. So once we mentioned the fact that when Kohen would have a bowel movement, you then have to go to the mikvah. So now we learned some halachos about, excrement in the intestines. Amar Papa, Papa said, so abim koma, if there is excrement in its place, Rashi explains that means in the piatabas, the excrement is already in the mouth of the rectum. It's already in the mouth there, in the mouth of that circular opening. So excrement in its place, also likros kriyat shema. Then already you can't read kriyat shema because basically he doesn't have a guf naki, doesn't have a clean body. The Torah says about saying kriyat shema v'haya machanecha kadosh. Your camp has to be holy. When the soldiers go to war, they have to have a lavatory outside of the camp in order to be able to pray. Because if there'll be excrement in the camp, then they can't pray. It's not a holy camp. So Gemara now asks, hey, Chidami, what's this case of excrement in the mouth of the rectum? Idenires, if you can already see the log of excrement, it's basically come out of the body. Sheets, of course, you can't say Kriyat Shema. Then he's got, he's in the middle of going to the bathroom. Of course he can't say Kriyat Shema in the middle of his bowel movement. It's filthy, it smells bad. Of course he can't say Kriyat Shema. He's alone near us. Now, if you don't see it, in other words, it hasn't come out of the body, but he feels some pressure down there. So, what do you mean he can't say Kriyat Shema? Lo nitna Torah l'malachi asharis. The Torah wasn't given to the angels. You can say somebody can't say Kriyat Shema if he's got excrement inside of his intestines. It's inside of his body. What do we care? It's inside of the body. If you're going to say that you can't say Kriyat Shema when you have excrement in the body, you'd never be able to say Kriyat Shema. Person never knows. He might feel like he's got something down there, and then he can't say Kriyat Shema. Was the Torah given to angels? Says the Gemara L'Tzricha. The answer is the Yoshe Veniris. The excrement is in such a spot that were he to sit and crouch, it would be visible. Omid ve'ena nires. But when he stands, it's not visible. Says the Gemara. So umayshnam. Why should you say that he can't say Kriyat Shema? If the excrement is so far down that were he to crouch, it would be visible. Well, Maishnam Yitzal Basara, why is it different than actually having real excrement on his skin, on his flesh? Didn't we learned? So al Basara, if there's excrement on his skin, Osha Yadu Bevesakise, or if he puts his hands into the lavatory, into the area where there's excrement on the floor. Ravuna Omar Mutalukas Kriyat Shema. Ravuna says he can read Kriyat Shema. So he has excrement on his body, okay, but it doesn't smell bad. His mouth is clean. His nose are clean. He can say Kriyat Shema. Rav Chisda Amar Asur Likros Kriyat Shema. Rav Chisda says he can't read Kriyat Shema, and the Gemara explains in Brachos that it's based on a special pasuk. The pasuk says, Kol atzmos haytamar na'ashami kamocha. David HaMelech said, all of my bones, my entirety of my body are going to declare Hashem, who is like you. So if you have some tsoa, if there's some excrement on Bisaro, on his flesh, or his hands are in a spot where there is a lot of excrement, so the hands are sort of disqualified, so he would not be able to say Kriyat Shema because he can't fulfill Kol Atzmos HaTamarna. All of my limbs will say Hashem, who is like you. So Rav Huna said he's allowed to read Kriyat Shema. And Rav Chisda said, that's why Rav Chisda says he can't read Kriyat Shema. But nobody's saying you can't read Kriyat Shema because of the excrement, so it's not Kol Atzmos HaTamarna. If you hold it, you need Kol Atzmos HaTamarna. If you don't hold it, you need Kol Atzmos HaTamarna. Then you actually could say Kriyat Shema. So if that's the case, that you could really say Kriyat Shema, so here, where he has excrement b'fiat tabas, that worried a crowd should be visible, why is he told not to say Kriyat Shema? After all, it should be like tzoa al basaro. It should be like tzoa on his flesh, which according to Rav Chisda, he is allowed, according to Rav Huna, I mean, he is allowed to say Kriyat Shema with tzoa on his flesh. And even Rav Chisda just said a special pasuk of Kol Atzmosai Tamarna. But presumably the Kol Atzmosai Tamarna doesn't preclude Piyat Tabas, that's not going to disqualify it in Etzem, a bone of the person. Says the Gemara, no, Piyat Tabas is worse than Tzoa al Basaro. Piyat Tabas, if the excrement is in that spot that where he took crouch, it would be visible. It's Bimkoma, it's still in its original place. When it's in its original place, Nafish Zuama, there is a lot of filth to it. It's very, very dirty. And it's very smelly. Shalobim Koma, once it came out, it's not in its original place, but it's still on the skin or it's in a lavatory. So there was the air, the ventilation. Lo Nafish Zuama doesn't have so much filth. And that's why then you get into the other issue of whether or not you darshan the pasuk of Kol Atzmosai Tamarna. So, in fact, in the halacha, this is recorded in the halacha that mishi yesh lo tzoa b'fi atabas, somebody who has if a person has excrement there in the pi atabas, afilu shu mechusa, even though he's covered up. Afilu enu nires kishu omed, it wouldn't be visible when he's standing, but it's nires, but it would be visible when he's crouching. Aser likros kriyat shema olis palel, he's not allowed to read kriyat shema, he's not allowed to daven shmona esrei. And the explanation why, the Rambam says, is mipnei shatzo aleichahi, because the excrement at that point is still moist, v'yesh la reach ra, and it has a bad smell. Rashi says, Kevan Shadayin lo yatzal avira olam, since it hasn't come out yet to the air of the world, the ventilated space, lo nitpazer recha, her smell hasn't dissipated, and because it has this bad smell, one is not allowed to read Kriyat Shema there. Okay, so that was one halacha about tzoa. Now another halacha about going to the bathroom. Tana Rabbanu Lintan of Raisa. Halacha b'seuda. The following law is a law about a meal. We know that hands, if you're not watching them, if you're not keeping them tahor, they become a sheni latuma. Sheni latuma can't handle truma. So therefore, because of this issue of truma, we were masaking that whenever you eat bread, you have to wash your hands to remember the issues of truma, to make sure that the hands are tahar for the meal. So halacha besuda, here's a law about a meal. Adam yotzi lahashtin mayin, he washed his hands, and he's eating his meal, he's having a motzi. Then he feels he has to urinate, so he exits the place of the meal in order to go urinate. So now, when he urinates, as we learned from Rabbi Abba, he's supposed to clean off his foot. So to come back, no tel yado achas, he cleans off, he washes that one hand that he used to clean off the drops, v'nichnas, and then he can come back to join the meal. However, if he left the meal, and diber im chaveiro, and he ended up getting into a whole big conversation with his friend, and in the conversation he's not thinking about keeping himself tahor, v'hiflig, and it was a lengthy conversation, then when he comes back, no tel shtei yadav, he has to wash both hands. Because if he spent an hour or two, so Rashi says he was mesiach da'as. He's distracted. He's not thinking about the meal. He's not thinking about his hands being tar. Therefore, the hands become tummy again, and he has to wash the hands. Then, v'nichnas, he can come back in. U'kishu notel, but when he comes back in to rejoin the meal after his two-hour break, lo yitomi b'chutz v'yikanes, let's say the other people are still eating their meal. Their meal's going on for 6-7 hours. When he comes back, he shouldn't wash his hands outside and enter, because they're going to think that he didn't wash his hands. Ibnei chashad, because that might create a suspicion that he didn't wash his hands the way he should. Rather, he should come in, sit in his spot. Now he has to wash both hands because he had hesach hadas. And because it's so important to that they shouldn't think that he's not washing his hands, when he washes his hands, he should offer the watching base, the watching cup, to all the other guests. Rashi says, "Hachi garsina la betosefta de brachos." This is the girsa of the Tosefta. Tafiach is the pach. That's the container. That from there they pour the water onto the hands. Machzira la orchan amesubin. He has to offer to all the other guests who are reclining. Hashabesh machzira aleihem. He has to offer it. The shamash goes to them. Ba'omer, he says, "Yesh bachem atzarech litol. Do any of you need to wash your hands?" This is all done to inform everybody that the guy who came back in has washed his hands. Rav Chizda said, "Lo amaran, you didn't say this rule. He shouldn't wash his hands outside. He has to wash it inside, and he has to offer other people the washing hands. Elishtos, if he comes back to drink, because many times they would have a meal, and after the meal, they would sit and drink for a while." But if he's coming back to eat, then he can wash his hands outside and come back in. Doesn't have to worry, "Oh, they're going to think I'm not washing my hands." They all know. Everybody knows that he's a sensitive guy. And since he's a sensitive guy, he's eating again, he's certainly going to have washed his hands. Because if he had a big break, right, his hands may have gotten dirty. What person's going to come with dirty hands and eat a meal? Eat with dirty hands? No one's going to think that. I think certainly he sensed that he was going to wash his hands. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak of Nachmar Yitzchak said, "Vahana, but for myself, a few lishtos, even if I would come in to drink, I don't need to wash hands. Maybe you do. Everybody knows that I washed my hands. Everybody knows that I'm a very finicky person. I'm on edge. Little things bother me. And so they know that I'm going to wash my hands before I come in to drink with them." All right, now going back to the Mishnah, we have another rule of Beis HaMikdash. A rule in the Beis HaMikdash is, "Ein Adam Nichnas La'azara La'avoda." No person's allowed to enter into the Beit HaMikdash, to enter the Azara, even if he's coming to do Avoda, even if he knows he's Tahar, Afilu Tahar, even if he knows he's Tahar, Ad Sheyitbol, until he first goes to the Mikvah, to enter the Beis HaMikdash, one first has to go to the mikvah. Going back to Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, Chamesh Tvilos, 5 times he would immerse in the mikvah, Vasara Kiddushin, and 10 times he would wash his hands and feet. Tovel Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol would go to the mikvah 5 times, in the Kaddish Bayom, and wash his hands and feet on that day. Because every time he changes from the 4 garments to the 8 garments, or from the 8 garments to the 4 garments, he has to wash his hands and feet 2 times, and he goes to the mikvah. All of the immersions that the Kohen Gadol would do in the mikvah would be in a holy area, al beis haparva, in the mikvah that was on the roof of the parva chamber. Parva, again, was the chamber where they used to salt the skins of the karbanos to then give them to the Kohanim. On that roof, there was a mikvah. Chutz mizubavad, except for this going to the mikvah, the very first time that he would go to the mikvah, it wasn't a unique Yom Kippur activity. It's every day. Anyone who's going into the Beis HaMikdash needs to go to the mikvah. And therefore, that would actually happen outside of the Beis HaParva, and it wouldn't be in a holy place. How do we know that the immersions of Yom Kippur have to be in a holy place, those that are unique to the obligations of Yom Kippur? Because the Pasuk says, V'rachatzis b'saro b'mayim b'makom kadosh. The Pasuk says he has to wash his flesh in a holy place. So that's true about Yom Kippur service. Okay, again, for that first going to the mikvah, parsu sadan shalbutz, bein olavein ha'am, they would put up a screen, a sheet of linen between him and the people to get undressed, to wash hands and feet, and to go to the mikvah. Yeah, question. For sure. Okay. Right. He was already Tahar. He's Tahar. He's going to the mikvah to add added Kedusha. Add holiness, yeah. Says the Gemara, Shalu es ben Zoma. They asked ben Zoma, Tvila zu lama. Why do we have this rule that afilu tar, even a tar person, before he enters the Azar, has to go to the mikvah? If he's tar, he knows he's tar, why does he need to go to the mikvah? Amar lehem, so he said it's derived from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. As Izzy pointed out, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is tar. He was tar. The whole night he stayed awake to make sure he stayed tar. And you know, they didn't give him too much to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, as we know. And he's tar. And nevertheless, when he goes from Kodesh, from, let's say, doing things in the on the Azara, on the Mizbeach, the Karban Tamid, to now doing things in Kodesh HaKodashim, to bringing in the pan with the incense for the Ketores, to start the service of Yom Kippur. From one to the next, from going from one holy place to another holy place, he has to go to the mikvah. So therefore, certainly when you go from a non-holy place, from Chulin, from the Beis Hamokid, into the Azara, you need to go to the mikvah in between. Amar Lehem, so he said to them, this Ben Zoma said, it's a Kal V'chomer. Oma, Mashana Mikodesh L'Kodesh. If this person who's going from one holy place to another holy place, right, the Kohen Gadol who's going from the Pnim to the Chutz, from the Chutz to the Pnim, he's going from one holy place to another holy place. He's going from one place where if a Tami enters, he gets Kares, to another place where if a Tami goes in, he gets Kares. So in Tvila, he has to go to the mikvah between these transitions. Hamashana Michola Kodesh, if somebody changes from Beis Hamokid, from a secular place to a holy place, to the Azara. Umimakam she'en anosh kares, from a place where if he is there in a state of tumi, he doesn't get kares. Lamakam she'anosh kares, to a place where if he's there tame, he would get kares. Eino din she'ta'un tvila. Certainly, he would need immersion in the mikvah. So, it's a kal v'chomer. If from Kodesh to Kodesh needs an immersion, certainly from Chol to Kodesh needs an immersion. Rabbi Yudah Maravita says, it's not based on a Kal V'chomer. It's not a Din D'Oraisa, as Rashi says. Kal V'chomer is like a Pasuk. It's a Din D'Oraisa. Ein kan chova min haTorah. There's no obligation min haTorah here. But it's only to sort of catch him. It's a Din D'Rabbanan. L'srach v'litvos b'shem tvila. It's to drag him and catch him in that activity of a tvila. K'tei la'alos aleves, that he should realize. I'm reading the Rashi, the last Rashi on the page. She'ein tefila lo tzmeim. If he's going to the mikvah going is something for tzmeim. For lasis lelibos, then he should start thinking, yim yesh tuma aleph, maybe he's tamei. V'yizkar tamei yeshana she'yesh aleph. Maybe he'll remember that he actually went to a funeral the other day and he had forgotten about it. V'shacha. And then v'yifush milav al-azara yom. And then he will avoid going into the azara today. At Shiarav Shimshon, until there's a sunset, achar ha'tefila, from after this tefila in the morning. Lo yavra yom, and he won't do the service today. So it's in a machlokas here, whether this is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. According to Ben Zoma, this law in the beginning of our Mishnah, that one does not enter the Azara, even if he's tar, unless he goes to the mikvah, is a din d'oraisa. It's derived from the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, from going from holy to holy place, has to go to a mikvah. So going from a secular place to a holy place, certainly has to go to the mikvah. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer says, no, it's not a din d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabbanan. Tzrach tvilu hizu. This is a immersion to sort of remind him of stuff. So then he will remember the old tumah that he might have in his hands, the yifrosh, and therefore he should separate from doing the service. Says the Gemara, what is the argument here? What's the sort of like, what's the nafkamina in these two opinions? Whether it's learned from the Kohen Gadol or whether it's srach tfila to remind him of maybe he has tumah, he should walk away. The question is, bachuli avoda kamiflugi. If he didn't go to the mikvah and he did the service, does that ruin the avoda? The Ben Zoma, according to Ben Zoma, it's learned from Yom Kippur, from the Kohen Gadol. So then a Kohen who goes into the Beis HaMikdash without doing tevila, without going to the mikvah, mechal avoda, the service is ruined. Where's Rabbi Yehuda? It's only Din Rabbanan to remind him. Well, mechal avoda, it's not going to ruin the service. No, during the week, anytime. Any Kohen who goes in, if he goes into the Azara without going to the mikvah, if he now does avoda, does that ruin the avoda? So that would be an argument. So what do you mean? Ben Zoma, even according to Ben Zoma. Me Mechel, does he think that if he doesn't go to the mikvah, the service that he then does is ruined? But Tan ruled in a Braisa. What's the whole source according to Ben Zoma? From the Kohen Gadol's Tvilos of Yom Kippur. But we learned in a Braisa, Kohen Gadol Shalot Tavah, Kohen Gadol who didn't go to the mikvah. Anything that washes hands and feet between wearing the eight garments to wearing the four garments, or from wearing the four garments to wearing the eight garments, didn't wash his hands and feet between the service in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the service that he did outside. Avodas HaKshera. The service is kosher. But Echad Kohen Gadol v'Echad Kohen Hedjet Shel Kiddush Adav Ragla Shachris. If he wouldn't have washed his hands from the sink, from the sink in the morning, then he did avoda, then avodas l'psula, then the service would be pasul. So, the first part of this brayso says explicitly, though, that a Kohen Gadol, who's the whole source of going to the mikvah, when you transition from one area to the next, if he didn't go to the mikvah, the service is okay. So certainly a regular Kohen who goes from the chol to the kodesh and he didn't go to the mikvah, the service should be okay. So you can't say that according to Ben Zoma, he's mechel avoda, he ruins the service if he didn't go to the mikvah. Ella, rather, the difference between Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda, whether it's a tindor rice or tindor abanan, is lemekam ba'asei kamiflugi. Would we say that a Kohen who didn't go to the mikvah and he went straight from the Beis Hamokid into the Azara, whether he is violating a mitzvah sasei, le Ben Zoma koi ba'asei? According to Ben Zoma, he's violating a mitzvah saseh, because there was a mitzvah saseh about the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, Rachas es Pesara Bamayim Ulevei Sham. So since we learn from Kohen Gadol through a Kal V'chomer, that means the mitzvah saseh gets transitioned over. Rabbi Yehuda, lo koi baseh. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no mitzvah saseh here. There is no mitzvah saseh over here, because it's only a Din Rabbanan. Asks Gemara, "Mi isli the Rabbi Yehuda high svara? Does Rabbi Yehuda even hold of this? Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that there's a din d'rabbanan, like the Mishnah said, before you enter anybody, before a kohen enters the azar, he has to go to the mikvah? But we learned in another brisa, Metzora tova v'omin b'shar nikana. According to the Tanakama, Metzora on his eighth day, right? If he was healed from his tzaras, he then had 7 days, went to the mikvah on day seven. On day eight, he comes into the Beis HaMikdash, he has to bring three karbanos, a chatas, an olon, an asham, and he has to have the blood of the asham put on his right earlobe, and on his right thumb, and on his the thumb of his foot, in the azara. And he stands in Shaar Nikanor, and he puts his thumb through the shaar, and he puts his foot through the shaar. So we're going to rise him at Zora. Tovel v'omim b'shaar Nikanor. On day eight, according to the Tanakhama, he goes to the mikvah again. And he stands in Shaar Nikanor. He doesn't need to go to the mikvah. Because he already went to the mikvah on day seven. So you see the Rabbi Yehuda holds that even though he's going into the Azara, the Metzora is putting his fingers into the Azara, he's standing in Shaar Nikanor. He doesn't need to go to the mikvah. So I thought the Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to go to the mikvah before you enter the Azara so that it'll jar your memory and think about maybe there's a tumah that you should be walking away from the mikdash because of it. Says, well, that's not a kasha. Who over there? Okay, the tani taima. That's because of what it said. Shekvar tavol mi ba'erev. He already went to the mikvah the night before. So since it says there that he already went to the mikvah on the seventh day, he doesn't have to go to the mikvah again. But if a regular guy is coming into the azara, he has to go to the mikvah first. The Gemara says, "Karla, my Karla." What were you even thinking to ask in terms of the question? It says explicitly here that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't have to go to the mikvah is because he already went to the mikvah on day seven. So my answer is, the reason why we quoted this price is really for something else. We want to ask a different source against this brisa. We learned in another source that there were chambers in the Ezras Nashim. One of them is called the Mishkos HaMetzorayim. One of the chambers is called the Chamber of the Metzorayim. The Tanakhama says, why is it called the Chamber of the Mitzorayim? Shoshah Mitzorayim Tovim. That's where the Mitzorayim go to the mikvah. Rabbi Yehuda says, lo Mitzorayim Bilvad Amru. Not only the Mitzorayim, but the Kol Adam. Every person goes to the mikvah there. But it sounds like Mitzorayim too. It says, not only Mitzorayim, every person too. But it means Rabbi Yehuda holds the Mitzorayim do go to the mikvah. I hear he says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mitzorayim don't go to the mikvah. They have a contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, lo Kasha. That was too bright, not a contradiction. Hadzitzavil. When we had a Mishkas Mitzorayim, he said that all people go to the mikvah there, Mitzorayim plus others. That's because it was the low tavel. He hadn't gone to the mikvah yet. And then he has to go to the mikvah before he goes to the Shaar Nikanor. But generally, if somebody had already gone to the mikvah on day seven, he doesn't have to go to the mikvah before he goes to Shaar Nikanor on day eight. Ask Mar, do low tavel, if he didn't go to the mikvah, Herif Shemesh Bayi. So he needs the sun to set on him. He needs the sun to set to make him Tahar. So going to the mikvah on day 8 in the Lishka Samatsaram, that doesn't help. El Edividavitavel. Okay, must be that in both brisos. He already went to the mikvah on day 7. Hadasich Daite. But one, he stopped thinking about it. That's why he has to go to the mikvah again on day 8. Hadlo Asich Daite. Whereas the other brisos, he didn't stop thinking about the fact that he had gone to the mikvah, and therefore he doesn't have to go to the mikvah on day 8, according to Rabbi Yehuda. He says, I understand. He Asich Daite, even this latter brisa. He stopped thinking about keeping himself pure, and he may have walked into a funeral. Then Azah Shlishu Shviba, he needs to have the ashes of Parah Adumah sprinkled on him on day 3 and on day 7. Dam the Bistoy Bar Matan, Rabbi Yochanan, because you know we have a lesson from Rabbi Yochanan, Asach Hesach Adas. If a person stops thinking to keep himself pure, he gets distracted. Tzarech Azah Shlishu Shvi, he has to have the ashes of Parah Adumah sprinkled on him on day 3 and on day 7. Ellos, you have to say like this. Edev Edev both brisos. Lo asich daite. He hasn't been distracted. And he went to the mikvah on day 7. So then why would Rabbi Yehuda say that the Lishkas HaMetzarayim is for Metzarayim? If he went to the mikvah on day 7, Rabbi Yehuda holds he doesn't need to go to the mikvah again. He answers like this. Depends on what he was thinking of when he went into the mikvah on day 7. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Hadatavala das bias mikdash. One is when he went into the mikvah on day 7 thinking that he's going to go into the Beis HaMikdash. So this tefillah is going to purify him to go into the Azara. In the other case where Rabbi Yehuda says Lishkas HaMetzarayim was for Metzarayim and others, was the Lotavala Das Pias Mikdash. He went to the mikvah on day 7 to purify himself from Tzaras, but he wasn't planning to, with that purity, enter into the Beis HaMikdash. If he has to have another tefillah for the entering of the Beis HaMikdash, he by the same alternatively, Tani, we have to change the brisa about the Lishkas Metzarayim. Tani, say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Metzarayim Amru. Metzarayim did not go into that mikvah. Ela Kol Adam, only other people. Ravina Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Ravina said another answer. Ravina Amar Rabbi Yehuda l'dervam derabanan karmelu. Rabbi Yehuda about Lishkas Mitzrayim is talking about to the Rabbanan. He's saying, Lididi, according to me, Mitzrayim ain't tzarech tvila. I don't even believe Mitzrayim needs to go to the mikvah to enter Shaar Nikanor because he went to the mikvah on day 7. But Lididchu, but according to you, he does need to go to the mikvah. Oduli Ezimiyas, agree to me though, that it wasn't just Mitzrayim who were using Lishkas Mitzrayim. Lo Mitzrayim Bilvadam, it's not only the Mitzrayim using that room, Ela Kol Adam, all people too. And Rabbanan will tell you, no, it's called Lishkas Mitzrayim. It was only for Mitzrayim. Only Mitzrayim, even though they're already tzar from day 7, on day 8, have to go to the mikvah again before they put their thumbs through the Shaar Nikanor. Why? Because the Mitzorah dayish b'tumma. The Mitzorah is immersed in tumma. He was tummy for weeks. He's immersed in tumma. Kol Adam, other people, lo dayish b'tumma. They're not immersed in tumma. They don't need to go to the mikvah if they are tzar. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef. Abayi said to Rav Yosef, Neimer Rabbanan depliga leid Rabbi Yehuda keben zoma svir luhu. Let's propose that the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, who hold that a mitzorah has to go to the mikvah to stand in Shaar Nikanor, they hold like ben zoma that it is a dinda oraisa, that before you enter the Kodesh, you need to go to the mikvah. Therefore, even though he went to the mikvah the day before, he still needs to go to the mikvah. On day 8, by the Ketani Mitzorah, the reason why they only spoke about a Mitzorah is lo diacha kocha Rabbi Yehuda, to tell you how far Rabbi Yehuda goes. And Rabbi Yehuda says, even a Mitzorah doesn't have to go to the mikvah. Odomar, maybe shiny Mitzorah. Maybe Mitzorah is different. The Daish B'tumah, he's immersed in Tumah. That's why he has to go to the mikvah. But maybe generally they don't agree with Ben Zoma and hold that everybody who's entering the Azara needs to go to the mikvah before he goes into the Azara. Based on a Dinto Oraisa. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef. So Amalei, he said to him, shiny Mitzorah. It's unique. Mitzorah is different to Daish B'tumah because he is immersed in Tumah. Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef. Abayi asked the following question to Rav Yosef. According to Rav Yehuda, who holds that this immersion before you go into the Azara is only a dindur Rabbanan to remind a person that maybe he had tumma, therefore he should leave. Tefillah zu chotzeitz. Oh, ain't no chotzeitz. This immersion, if he had something on his body, is there going to be the law of chatzitza, that the water didn't reach all of his body and therefore he has to redo it, or not? Abelay said, listen, even though it's just a reminder, I call the tikkun Rabbanan, came to Araisa tikkun, whenever the Rabbanan make a takana, they make it in a way that it's like the biblical law. The biblical law is that, of course, the chatzitza ruins an immersion. So even this immersion, which was for the reason of just reminding a person to find out if he has tuma, nevertheless, they did pattern it on the biblical law, and it does have the law of chatzitza in it. Adkan daf lamed.